Raising money is simple, but I'll tell you what, it ain't easy. And so after raising $4 million in just 2022 alone, people always ask me, Logan, like, how do you do it? How can I do that? And so in this podcast, I actually share with you my story, my experience, how I built my track record, and how I go and find new investors, the conversation I have with them, and even the process of once an investor says yes, what does that process look like? So if you like this podcast, please follow the podcast, give it a review, share with entrepreneurs to hear it. And without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettis. In 2022, we just closed on $4 million of real estate, and we did it all without using any of our own money. And so when I tell people that, they always get super excited, their mouth starts drooling, and they're like, please tell me the secrets. And so the reality is that while the strategy we used is simple, it ain't easy. And so it actually started in 2015 when I was really motivated to actually start investing in real estate. I had just got done reading Rich Dad Poor Dad. I was getting down on all the Bigger Pockets podcasts, and I was listening to the stories of other real estate investors who were out there, were buying properties. They were doing it with wholesaling. They were doing it with flipping. They were doing it with creative finance. And I was just like, this is so freaking cool. And Kiyosaki was pushing this no money down real estate and talking about all of his stories that he did. And I was like, okay, like I can do this. And so I ended up going to one of those weekend seminars, the Rich Dad Poor Dad seminars. He spent like $500. Me and my wife both went, and we spent a weekend where they educated us on how to buy real estate with none of our own money. And at the end, they pitch you on a $25,000 program. Well, what I learned from that weekend was that I didn't have any money. I didn't have the bandwidth or the time or the education or the experience to be in real estate. And so I quickly bowed out. I didn't take him up on that offer, and I went back to my business. And so that was 2015. 2 years later, my business finally took off. I finally learned how to actually make some freaking money. And then in 2019, we had a couple hundred thousand dollars in our bank account. We're like, now it's time to actually start investing in real estate. And so we did it the old-fashioned way. We started buying homes with 20, 25% down. We were using our own credit. We were finding deals ourselves. We were getting, you know, mediocre returns, 8, 9, 10% cash-on-cash returns. We did that for the first 3 years. And then I was like, I see the value in real estate, but I'm running out of cash really, really quick, and I want to continue to buy real estate. And so that's where I was searching on the internet, on YouTube specifically. It was actually right at the height of the COVID pandemic, so I had a little bit more time in my hand, and I found this guy named Chris Krohn. And some of his messages like really resonated with me. I started going back and listening to all of his videos, and he was very heavily invested in real estate. And after watching videos for like 2 weeks, I was like, I have to be in this guy's presence. And so I ended up opting into one of his funnels and getting on a phone call with one of his salespeople, and I bought his real estate course along with his mastermind. And so I think I spent about 10 grand to actually buy a house with him. I think I could buy 2 houses with him. And then I bought his mastermind, which was another $25,000 to actually like get basically mentorship from him. And so what I learned from him was what I'm gonna share with you is like one of the most pivotal things that you can do when it comes to trying to buy real estate without any money. And that is a track record. Okay. So I spent $35,000 for this, and you can get it right here, right now. It's a track record. So when you do something one time, nobody thinks anything of it, right? It's like, whatever. If you do something twice, people are like, well, you got lucky. But as soon as you do something 3 times, all of a sudden, the conversation changes in somebody's head. Be like, let me actually ask more questions. Let me get curious on what they're doing, right? And so that's what you want, is you want to develop a track record. When you have a track record, you show that you can actually follow through on a promise. So for example, when we were able to buy our first 3 properties, then all of a sudden we had a track record. And so when we went to do our first investment where we didn't want to use our money, we used those previous 3 transactions as a way to showcase our track record and show, hey, we bought this with this money, with this price point. Here's what it's currently doing. And our investor was like, oh, that's pretty cool, right? And so which goes to like the next question people always have is, okay, so I have a track record. Then where do I actually raise the money from, right? And our very first person was actually Katie's mom. And so Katie's mom was in a problem situation. So if you're looking for opportunities, you got to be looking for problems. And so this problem just was, it presented itself to us that Katie's mom had been in a home for like 30 years. She was very equity rich, but she was cash poor and her mortgage was eating her alive. Her mortgage was like $1,400 to $1,500 a month. And she was tired of working 5 days a week just to pay for the mortgage. And she lived in this 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And she had a lot of maintenance. And the previous summer, she actually was on the roof, or the winter, excuse me, she was on the roof trying to like clear off some ice that was stuck in the gutters, and she fell and she broke her leg, right? So that was kind of like the last straw of like, you need to get out of this house. Well, the problem was within our market in Bozeman, she had about probably $300,000 in equity, but you can't buy anything outright in Bozeman without getting another lien. You know, our average price one's like $800,000. So she basically would have just sold that house to buy another house, and she still would have been sitting in the exact same situation, or she could have went and rented and been sitting on $300,000 of cash, but it would have just went away, right? And she would still have to rent and still have to make a payment towards that her living expense. So we came up with this creative idea that, hey, if we found the property, you put the down payment down, we would cover the mortgage going forward, and you could basically live for free at that moment. And so that's what we did. And we found this building. It was, at the time, it was a 2-unit building, but our plan was to turn into a 3 units. And after just a little bit of construction, we bought this property, and she put the down payment down, which was about $230,000. So she got to keep, you know, $50,000-$60,000 she got to put in her pocket as well. And we turned this from a 2-unit to a 3-unit. And so she lives in one of the units for free. And one of the units pays for the mortgage, which is about $2,800. And then the other unit, it cash flows about $2,500 a month. And so with that being said, like, we got into a deal where we didn't put any of our own money down, and Katie's mom lives for free, and we're cash flowing $2,500 a month. We're like, wow, this is an amazing deal, right? And so what do you think we did with that? We used that deal as a way to present it to future investors, right? And so we kept on stacking our track record on and on and on. And so our first couple deals, that's what we did, is we continued to leverage our existing deals to showcase to new investors. And so who you're having this conversation with, it's going to start out in the beginning as being people who already know you, who already trust you, because that ultimate level of trust for somebody to give you a couple $100,000 or $50,000, like, there has to be a level of trust there. And to get it from a complete stranger is slim to none if you don't have a good enough track record. Okay. So that's how we did our first couple deals. And our next deal we did, we actually presented it to Katie's brother, and then we presented it to my mom. So those were the first couple people we started with. And then we eventually started working out to like more friends, and then partners in other business, and then we had friends in other businesses. And so we kept on extending our reach. And now when I talk about that, last year we bought $4 million in real estate. Like, out of all the partners that we did deals with last year, we didn't know any of them except for one until 2022, right? So these are all people who are recent relationships, but it's because of our track record that allows us to get into more of these deals. Okay. So when you're looking for these conversations to have with people, again, you want to be loud about it. You want to let everybody know you're in real estate. Like, the deals you have, showcase it on Facebook, on Instagram. Talk about it when you're around your family members, your friends. Like, let everybody know you're in real estate. And so the more that you talk about it, the more people will start to come with you with questions, and like, be somebody who's there to help, not just like pitch your deals to, but like, how do you help them? Like, I've helped so many people buy their first homes. I've helped so many people like talk about interest rates. I've helped so many people understand the process of what it's like to buy a home. Most people don't even know what it is. And so when you're able to educate, number one, you get better at explaining it, at communicating it, which makes you smarter. But also it helps other people as well. Okay. So also using social media, I think, is a huge thing that most people miss out on. And so whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, I'm like, me personally, I'm always posting stories of our deals, and I'm talking about creative ways that we did it. And so if you don't follow me on Instagram, like at Logan Lee Manzanares, that's where I post a lot of the stories of our deals, right? And so the more value you give, and you can, it's not from a standpoint of bragging. I'm just trying to showcase that if I can do it, you can do it. And when you come from that point of view, it's you're serving rather than like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Like, I'm not doing it for look at me. Like, it doesn't really matter. But I want to let people know, number one, that I am doing real estate. And then I'm trying to let also people know that here's a creative way to do it, that maybe you're sitting in this situation, it could help you. And you know what? If you have some money and you don't want to go through the whole process, like, come to me, and then I will help you use your money, right? We'll become a team. We'll collaborate. together. And so I think that's one of the most important pieces of this, is understanding that you're looking for people who want to collaborate with you. And like, real estate is such a big market that competition is like, it's only in your head. Like, there's no reality. There's so many houses, there's so much opportunity out there that competition is literally only in your head. And so when you're having that conversation with your investor, okay, so now we are looking at, we're trying to get the message out there that we're in real estate and that we have deals, and that if you have money, then come talk to me. So what does that conversation look like? And so when you have that conversation, understand that there's two ways that that conversation can go. It can be you try to convince them, or it can be you trying to persuade them. So what is the difference? Well, convincing is mean that you're trying to influence them based on your goals, and persuading is you trying to influence them based on their goals, okay? Persuading is good, convincing, not so good. And so that's why you have to be a really good listener, and you have to actually understand what this investor is looking for to do with their money, right? First off, like, how much money do they have access to? How much money do they want to invest? How much money do they have set aside that they can put into real estate? Like, these are some of the questions you got to ask. And then, like, what is your goal with that money? Like, are you looking to set it and forget it? Are you looking to try to earn money on it? Do you want it to be flexible? Do you want to eventually get into a different asset? Do you want to get into real estate yourself? Like, these are all the questions you need to ask yourself. And then at that time, as you get to know more and more about your investor, well, then you can actually see how you can help them, okay? And so here's the typical type of investors. Basically, three types of typical investors that I've worked with, right? You have your first type of investor who usually wants their money in for less than a year, right? So this is usually somebody who's got cash sitting in a bank. It's not doing anything. They simply want to earn a nice return on it because they know inflation is eating it away, okay? These people are usually great private money lenders, right? Or debt partners. And so you can put a lien on a property. They can be in second position or even first position if there is no first position lien on it, and they can get a simple interest return. And they have a balloon on it in, let's say, one year, and you're either going to refinance them out in a year with a different lending partner, or this could be something like a flip situation. It could be a short-term bridge loan before you get another long-term debt on it. And so there's so many different ways you can use this type of lender, but generally they're going to be less than 1 year, and they're going to earn simple interest on their money. The second type of investor is going to be somebody who's looking to park their money for about 1 to 5 years. Okay. And so they're not looking to get their money back anytime soon. And so these people are actually great equity partners, right? So these people are usually sitting on cash. Maybe they have an SDIRA. And you can use those to invest as equity partners. So they get equity percentage, which means they get to participate in the cash flow of the property. They get to participate in the appreciation of the property. They get to participate in the depreciation of the property, which is really cool, right? And it means that, let's say you have $1,000 left over at the end of the month. Well, then if you're 50-50 partners with them, you get $500, they get $500, and it's really simple, it's really clean. And if you bought the property for $200,000 and in a year it's for $250,000, you guys shared that $50,000 equity, right? So those are all the benefits of being a private money lender who wants your money, or who of an investor who wants their money for 1 to 5 years, okay? Now, this person could also be a debt partner as well, but primarily these people, it's better for you as an investor, because you don't want to have to continue to recycle those people out all the time, that they're better as equity partners. And then the third type of investor that I work with is what I call a safe money investor, right? This person is generally somebody who has a certain amount of money that they don't want to see again, right? This is like very similar to what someone would do like in a IRA account, or they would stick it into like a savings bond, where they just want to park that money. They want to earn interest on it, and they want it to be safe, but they don't want to think about it. They're not trying to use that money to grow anything outside of, you know, whatever their return is. Again, that's what you got to ask them. Like, do they want to earn 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% of the money? And so these are what I consider safe money investors. They're looking to preserve their capital first and foremost, right? They have other sources of income that they play with and they use to eat sushi with and go on trips with. This is not that money. And so also another benefit for these type of people is depreciation. So these people generally want to be equity partners so you guys can depreciate the property, and you get any sort of income that is reflected on this is tax-free, which is another huge benefit for this type of investor too, is they're looking to, how do they realize gains without paying tax? And so this type of investor is looking for that longer-term play, that in 5, 6, 7, 8 years that this property has appreciated. Let's say, again, we bought it for $200,000. It's appreciated now to $400,000. We pay the principal mortgage of the balance down to $100,000. Now we have $400,000 in equity. There's two ways we could get the equity. We could sell it, but then we would have a capital gains, and that would trigger a taxable event. Or we could just do a cash out refinance and we could extract 75% of that equity. We could get a new note. Our cash flow would go down, but now we would get to extract that equity and it would all be tax-free. And they could put that money in the bank and they could do it again, or they could go buy sushi with it. And that is what a safe money investor is looking for, and it's a longer-term play. So those are the conversations you're having with your investors, and understanding like those, there's three different types, right? And depending on what they want is going to dictate like what type of deal you do with them. And then the next question is like, well, what is a good deal, right? So a good deal is really just dependent on what the investor wants and what sort of access you have to deals. So when I first started, I remember my very first deal that we bought, it was a 9% cash on cash return. And I was jacked. I was excited about it. I had listened to Brandon Turner, Up Bigger Pockets, his managing real estate or his rental portfolio book. And that's what he said. There's like 10% double digit return was good. And I got 9% of my very first deal. And I was like, this is awesome. I was so excited about it. And fast forward now to 2022, like I won't even look at a deal unless it's 25 to 30% cash on cash return. And that's just because my standards have went up. And at the same time, I am sharing this equity, I'm sharing this cash flow with other people as well. And so if you're doing a deal by yourself, your cash on cash return is going to be different. Whereas if you have partners, then your cash on cash return generally needs to be higher because you're trying to divide this this cash flow, this equity amongst multiple people. So I always look for better deals, right? And so what is a good deal? Again, just really is dependent on what kind of deals you have access to and what your investors are looking for as well. And so when it comes to actually raising the money, so here's a cool little nuance that I've never heard anyone talk about before. So if you like this, like let me know, cause this, I think, is something that you only know this if you actually have raised money before. So what happens when you're sitting across from the table and the person's like, yes, Logan, I have $100,000 and I am ready to invest with you. Like, do you take that $100,000 right away? The answer is it depends, but usually the answer is no. And so what you'll say is that you'll just basically get a commitment saying, okay, you want to invest $150,000 and you're looking to be equity partner and you're looking for a type of deal where if you have your money in for 5 to 7 years, and then how we'll get the money out is we'll do a cash out refinance. And then at that moment you can decide to stay in the deal, or you can take that money and you can take it, you know, you can invest another deal or you can go buy sushi with it. Right. So you basically have this verbal upfront agreement, and then all of a sudden you get a deal across your desk that meets this criteria. Then what I do is I'll say, hey, John, I have this deal. Here it is. Here are the numbers on it. And I'll send it over to him. Like, and I say, hey, if you're curious and if you're interested in this deal, let me know. We'll hop on a call. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, yes, let's hop on a call. Because I already know it fits their criteria. And then I will go through a little bit more of a deeper dive on the deal. And I will actually showcase. I have a spreadsheet. It's an underwriting spreadsheet that shows exactly what the deal looks like currently and what it projects out to be. And I walk them through a screen flow presentation, and then they say at that moment, they're like, I'm in. Or if they for some reason, don't say that they're in, then you know what I do is I go to the next investor. And so that is really the key to this whole process, is that if you just have one person, you're really dependent on one, and one is the loneliest number in business. And so when you're doing this process, your goal is to get as many people verbally committed as you possibly can, because you'd be surprised at, even though someone's super jacked right now, maybe you don't have a deal come across your desk for a week. Maybe you don't have a deal come across your desk for a month. Maybe you don't have your deal come across your desk for a year that actually makes sense for them. Are they still going to be in the same financial position? Are they going to have the same goals in 1 year they are for them today? The chances of that is honestly no. So that's why you need to continue to grow your investor pool, but you also need to stay in contact with these people and continue to have conversations with them and continue to make sure that like, they are still interested as well. Like the more and more you do that, the more likelihood of that when you have a deal that fits their buy box, they'll actually take it. And so with that being said, like money doesn't actually ever go into my bank account until either after the transaction's closed or until we're in the middle of a transaction, right? And so usually that money will go, if we're doing an open transaction, it'll go straight into the open escrow account that we have. Sometimes I will buy the deal with my own money and then they will pay me back, just depending on where they're coming in out of the deal. But usually, like, I will not sit on someone's money and then go find a deal. Now, I have done that, but 99% of the deals that I have done is that they just give me a commitment, and then once we find the deal, they wire the money to escrow, or then I'll close on it, then they'll wire me the money, okay? So that's how it works, and at that moment, you're actually gonna create a whole new business. You're creating a whole new LLC, right? So I have so many LLCs. You'll create a new business, you open up new bank accounts, you'll create operating agreements, and that's really how the process works, okay? So ultimately, it's pretty simple. But the key to this whole process, right, is number one, you got to have a track record. Okay. Number two, you got to know where to start asking, finding potential investors, right? It's going to start with friends and family. And then from there, as you start to grow your track record, it can start to spread out a little bit more. You got to understand when you're having that conversation, what's in it for me? That's what everyone's thinking. What's in it for me? Okay. And don't be someone who convinces, but be someone who persuades. Okay. And so there's really four last questions I'm going to leave you with. Okay. So these are the four questions that you have to answer for every investor that, whether they ask it or not, they're actually asking this question in their head. Okay. They're asking you, number one, will I get my capital back? And really, they're saying, can I trust you? Okay. The second question they're asking is, when will I get my capital back? Right. Which basically means, like, does the investment that you're going to provide me, like, does it fit my financial plan? The third question they're going to ask you, what's going to be my return on my capital? So is this temporary loss of this money that's leaving my bank account or my SDIRA or my HELOC, is it going to outweigh the future gain? Okay. And the fourth question they're asking is, what sort of effort is required of me, right? Like, what's expected of me? Like, is this something that's 100% passive? Am I supposed to be active in this? Do I have to be a decision maker? And so those are the four questions you need to ask, or excuse me, that you need to answer, that every investor is asking. So if you got value from this, let me know by shooting me an email, shooting me a message, shooting me a DM, wherever you have access to me, just let me know. Shoot me a text message and let me know that you got value from this. And if you did, you can also go to everythinggoesmyway.com. And I have free trainings up there that I did a free training on this specific topic where I outlined how I bought all the deals I did in 2022. And I used 7 creative different strategies. So if you want access to that training, plus all the other trainings I give to entrepreneurs, you can go to everythinggoesmyway.com and go to the free trainings and get access to that. So hopefully you got some value from this. If you did, like the podcast, subscribe, all the good stuff.